Come unto me.
It is a blessing to see you and to be here, dear brethren. But I want to take our minds for a minute to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, far away from Johnstown for a moment. And we have these words written by the Apostle Peter. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, it's important before we welcome or do anything else, first thing we want to do is give praise to our Heavenly Father and give praise to him for that resurrection we celebrate. For the Apostle Paul says, if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain. Then is our hope in vain. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And in all things, when we begin the day, there's a custom in parts of the Jewish tradition to begin by saying thank you and then praising the heavenly creator, the great, the name, Hashem. But the point is, in the morning, first thing, we want to render our praise unto God and to thank him before we do anything else with the day. You know, our hopes are far beyond this world and its cares. The Apostle Peter, we're going to continue, he says, we are to look to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's our hope, brethren. That's what has drawn and motivated us. This consideration of the great privilege before us. Let us begin then each and every day with thanks and blessing of our great God's name. Thanks for the gracious way in which he provided through his Son for us. And then daily to remember to take up our cross, to renew our consecration vows. This is so important. In fact, for those of you who've read the Faith's Foundations, read of the testimony of our dear Edgar, the dear extended Edgar family and the brethren who were so faithful over in England at the time, the UK, Scotland. He made the point of renewing our vows of consecration each day. And how grateful we are that some still see this opportunity and this privilege. And we are going to have a baptismal service later in the week while we are together here in conjunction. You know, we are in the world, but not of the world. And when we are in difficulties, we can look up in confidence and trust to our Lord. There are the storms of life. You know, we may have thought that we were taking a pleasant evening boating trip on the Lake of Galilee with our Lord, just enjoying the evening breeze and sailing along quietly. But that's not necessarily going to be our experience in life. The Heavenly Father sees that we need both these experiences of rest and blessing, and that's what this week should be, and the experiences of going through the life challenges that will make us qualified to be good mediators. That's what we're being groomed for. We are so thankful for the salvation we have, but we all have a purpose. We have a high calling, a heavenly calling. For some of us, these difficulties could be difficulties of health. I think over the years, all of us have been used to looking at the rear of the auditorium here and seeing Sister Charlene doing the work to help those who are hearing impaired and so forth. She's not here this year. Many have health issues that have kept them here. And there's the health issues that we may have, the health issues that our loved ones may have that are a burden to us. And these are from the Lord. Of course, there's the issue of age. You know, all of us aren't as frisky as we were 20 and 30 years ago. We certainly look forward to having the report from Brother George Tabak each year and Sister Florence on Bible student publications. That won't happen this year. That won't happen this year. They are able to come out on Sundays, but age is affecting them. Age is affecting so many, the Allards and others who were here. There are family burdens. You know, the world has gone mad. We are the salt of the earth. And we really have to not only treasure our other brethren who are together here, but remember that we are the salt of the earth. And there's craziness where you don't have that preserving power. So there are burdens in families, things that we can't really talk about, that have no answer, that really have no answer except the trust in the Lord. Difficulties at work for those who are fortunate enough to have work. Others don't have any work to do. Can't find a job in the economy. And I'm thinking also not only of the brethren here in North America, but our brethren over in Africa, when we had the privilege of being together with them during the Pan-African in April of this year. Could be difficulties with finances. You know, these are the things that bother the world. And we're affected by them. But we're affected in a different way. That's the point. These trials are developing in us bad character, which we hope will be an image of our Heavenly Father's character. We're given this word. We're going to continue with Peter, but this is shifting from 1 Peter to 2 Peter. He says that we are kept, no, we're still in 1 Peter, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And what a privilege it is to be meeting with those of like precious faith. What a privilege we have. Peter says this in his second epistle now. Seeing then these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? And that, of course, means your conduct. And godliness, looking forward and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And you know, we don't usually like taking liberties with the text of Scripture, but I think today we can clearly say, seeing these things are being dissolved, we're witnesses to so much of prophecy being fulfilled day by day. And we do see these things being dissolved. What manner of persons ought we to be? That's the encouragement to us. You know, Paul didn't say, or Peter didn't say here, Peter didn't say, you know, go check out the latest stuff that's going wrong on the internet. Now, he couldn't have said that because there was no internet. But you're getting the point of what I'm trying to say here. Our response in these times should be holiness in our conduct and godliness. That is what we are encouraged to be like if we are seeing these things being dissolved. And indeed, we are seeing this happening. But that's the charge to us. And why? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Our hope is not for fixing of the old order. We're sympathetic. We are sympathetic with people whose heart intentions are trying to see the right thing done. And we should be. But that is not where our aims, hopes, and ambitions are. And as we have this privilege of coming together in convention, let us be an encouragement one to another as we share our experiences. We are on the verge of seeing the greatest fulfillment and blessing of all the desires and hopes of mankind. So for our theme text for this welcome, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's go back and step through this again. We've come together here. We've come here because our brethren are here. We've come here because the Lord's words are here. We come here because the present truth is here. And our Lord's invitation is, leave your present condition. Come unto me. Where else would we want to be? Where else could we better than coming together and being with our Lord? But it means leaving that condition of the world and its cares to be with Him. Now, you know, those who are minding the things of this failed and outgoing world, well, they continue to offer their various solutions, their various isms for fixing the perplexities facing man. And we were just talking recently at our fourth volume study where we were speaking about the hail that sweeps away the refuge of lies. And I think there's an interesting picture in the hail. You know, what is it? Well, yes, it's frozen water, it's frozen truth, and it's hard cutting. That's all true. That is all true and good. But we know something about the formation of hail today that wasn't really appreciated during the first years of this wonderful time that we call AD. Hail is frozen water, that's for sure, but it's lifted up by the winds and it gets a little more water accumulating with it, and then it comes down, it gets wet again, and it's lifted up by the winds. You know, in one sense, this is such a good picture of the way in which mankind really doesn't have a solution for the problem, so they just keep pushing it down the road, push the problem down, push it up. But at some point, that hail just gets too heavy, and it will indeed come down. I'm going to read this not from the King James translation, but I'm reading this from one of the more modern translations, and it says, "Be sure of this. The Lord who commands armies," okay, or Lord of hosts, as we would more familiarly read it, "has decreed the nation's efforts will go up in smoke. Their exhausting work will be for nothing." Habakkuk 2:13. Wow. Selah, let us consider that. And then, now we're back in King James, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas." Isn't that our hope? Isn't that what we pray for? Thy kingdom come. Isn't that what we work for with our efforts at witnessing and putting forth the Lord's word in various ways? And here I will say good things about the internet, because that has been incredible. It has been incredible. We have seen those who have wanted to come together and know the truth from third world countries. We see them coming from Africa. Where are they finding the truth? Not in a country where there's actually been one of our footprints. They're looking on the internet and they're seeing, this makes more sense than anything else that I'm hearing. This satisfies the heart. I want to know more about this plan of God, the divine plan of the ages. Yes, we're seeing a small beginning now, but the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And yet there's work for us. There is work for us, for our Lord doesn't say, come to me, and, you know, there's the popular hymn, I'm going to lay my heavy burdens down. Well, that's true. You do lay your heavy burdens down. Yep, that is true. But you take up our Lord's yoke. And this is a lovely photo because it actually correctly shows what our Lord was talking about here. You can see the empty yoke being shifted off the shoulder and the new yoke being put onto the shoulders of this carrier. Now this is a photo from just a few years ago in Bangladesh. And I liked it. I liked it so much that I sent a note to the photographer who was a Muslim. And I said, you know, I'd like to use this, I'd like to have your permission to use this photograph in opening a church convention, because I think this so well illustrates the words of Jesus in the gospel. And of course I said the words of Jesus and then added, you know what you have to add if you're speaking about Jesus to somebody who is of Islamic persuasion? Blessings be upon him. Okay, that's what you do when you speak of one of the great prophets. And of course, Jesus is a great prophet. We know him as more than a great prophet. In fact, we know him as our Savior. But anyway, he said, yes, freely. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. You know, sure, use it. So this is used with permission. And this is a heavy, I was looking, you know, because I enjoyed this photo, and the more I looked at it, I was like, wow, that's really a heavy burden, because if you look at the dirt or whatever is getting carried away, probably from some construction site, there's what we call an angle of repose. I mentioned the chemical engineering program that UPJ now has started, and hello, that, I think I come from that background. So when you have things laying down, usually you don't want them to fall off. And when I looked at that, boy, the only way that pile is going to stay together is if it's wet. Otherwise, it's going to fall while he's transporting it. So it's got to be pretty heavy. And he doesn't look as though he, is into muscle building, but I'm sure he's very, very strong, and he is used to carrying these burdens. And this is the illustration the Lord had for each one of us. You come unto me, and you take my yoke. We are here for a purpose. We are here to be of service to our brethren. We are here to be of service to the truth. And we are here to have this yoke. And it could be different for how it's manifested and how we work it out in each one of our lives, because we all have been given the opportunity by the Lord to lead one justified human life and to use whatever talent we have in serving the Lord. And that's where we have to focus. Not on serving the world. Its demands are 24/7. Oh, you don't receive texts at 2 a.m? Really? What kind of commitment is that to your job? You don't send texts at 2 a.m. to show that you're engaged in our process? Really, what kind of commitment is that? And I had the privilege of being what's called a middle manager. Okay, you know, and I let the group know that I did not observe the Jewish Sabbath, which would begin It begins with the candle lighting 20 minutes before sundown, and it continues until the first stars are visible. So it's usually 1 hour after sundown. I said, I'm not a member of the Jewish faith, but there's going to be a Sabbath for all of you from Saturday night to Sunday night. I don't want any texting. I don't want you, I said, after sunset on Sunday, if you've really got to share something about what we need to know first thing Monday morning, you can do it. But we're all going to take a break because this is good for our mental health. I said, for some people, it's the law. But it's good for our mental health, and we are going to be observing that. So welcome, brethren. Welcome to this convention. Welcome to all the opportunities that this convention represents. We're together again for fellowship with the saints. We are still trusting in the ransom sacrifice of our Lord. We are still eager to see his perfect will being filled in our lives, fulfilled in our lives. What a privilege. We are family. We are the Lord's children. We are the ones who are not having our hearts failing in fear of seeing those things coming on this earth. We are not the ones who are going to be there trying to push that boulder back up the hill. It's not that we're not sympathetic, again, with the moves towards righteousness, but that's not what we've been called for. And that's the important point for us to keep before our minds at all times. Our purpose is for the perfecting of the saints. And our purpose is to witness that these things aren't happening because that guy did it, or this party did it, or that party did it. That's not where we're supposed to be coming from. All of this is inevitably, inexorably, drawing the nations together to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And that's not going to be stopped by any negotiations to reduce arms. It's not going to be stopped by any negotiations to bring peace in the Middle East. None of that is going to stop what the scriptures have promised will take place to bring mankind to the point where man's extremity is God's opportunity. And I wish I could say that was even a phrase that began with the Present Truth Movement. That actually goes back to William Carey. He was a wonderful, faithful brother. He was a Baptist who opened up the gospel in India. And if you look at his life experience, what a life of trial he had. And yet, I would have to say that how thankful we are that the gospel has reached India, and how wonderful it is to have our brethren from India as part of our movement. And it's we had a special blessing during the Decoration Day convention in Chicago, because we actually had two brethren who are very active working in India. We had Brother Ernie Kinsley's report, and we had a report from Brother Rick Cunningham about what's been happening in India. And They are a regular part of our Tuesday evening meeting because we start the Tuesday evening meeting at the Schneider Candlehome with a discussion on current events. We're doing it because our study's in the fourth ion, and so we're always looking at how the things that we're anticipating, the trends that we're anticipating, how are those working out? So we talk about current events. And there's a brother, Akrasami from India, who always sends probably about 30 pages of reports on what's happening in Israel and what's happening in the religious systems. And I've never traveled in India personally, but it is truly a blessing to have met the brethren that have come here and to hear the reports on what's going on there, as well as other locations. We get the reports that I'm sure Brother Ray will give us a report on what's happening in the Philippines. We know that the truth is moving into countries like Myanmar. What a blessing. What a blessing is happening in these times, because it's preparing. There are consecrated saints, to be sure, but it's also preparing mankind as they hear this message of the kingdom going out. And what a blessing that we can actually come together and sit down here with the saints. You know, we're still rejoicing in the harvest message. And some of us are just rejoicing. Our little one here is just rejoicing. And you know, that's good. That's good. I think it's a special blessing to be together with the little ones, the young ones, all the way up through the young adult stage. I can't help but think that it brought a smile of joy to our Lord when those little ones were there listening, and then they wanted to come up and, you know, see him. Well, we are watching, we are praying, because we can neither watch without praying, nor can we pray without watching. We've got to do the two together. And we're trying to work in harmony with what we have learned. All these opportunities for fellowship are precious. We want to extend to each one of you. We can't maybe personally shake each hand during the week, but to extend to each of you a warm and loving welcome to this 2018 General Convention in Johnstown at this lovely location. And you know, brethren, you know how thankful we are. What draws us together here? Is it just that we're a nice group of Christian believers? I don't think so. It's that we are thankful for the clear presentation of the divine plan, the harvest message from that wise and faithful servant. Let's keep feeding on this feast, because this is from our Lord himself. He said, I stand at the door and knock. And that if we would open to him, he will come down, he will be supping with us. And he has provided a rich supper for all of us. We read these words in Malachi chapter 3. It says that then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and for them that thought upon his name. I want us all to be in that book of the Lord's remembrance. And we are very thankful. We know that distance, health, just inability to travel because it's expensive, keep some who would be here in our midst if they could from being here, and they're joining us by internet, and that's a blessing. But it's really a blessing to be able to look into the eyes of your brethren and to sit down and to share these precious experiences that we are having. Some of them are joy. Some of them we're sharing a tear together. But this is that opportunity for fellowship, and it's so rich. And the Lord loves it. He writes a book of remembrance about what we say, not about, you know, I got a good buy on this particular thing I was wearing, you know, that's not the kind of remembrance, you know. We're talking about things that speak to the heart, things that speak to our development as new creatures. Those are the kinds of remembrances. The other stuff is, you know, that's out there, but that's not where we want to focus. Our desire is that we could take up our cross daily, that eventually we might also have that crown. That is our desire, Lord. And with that, again, we welcome you, and we ask that the Lord would richly bless you during this week of convention.